and welcome to the Hoop Collective podcast. We talk about the NBA. It is 2:40 in the morning on Friday morning. It's been a long day. I'm in Phoenix. Band McMahon. Hadn't seen you in a long time, buddy.
Right down the hallway from you, bud.
Band McMahon is with me in Phoenix.
Also, it's 11:40 here. Don't try to get that East Coast credit. Only Jackson, that's right, producer can claim that.
Jackson, yeah, Jackson gets a big props today.
Above and beyond. Tim Bontemps is joining us from the West Coast as well. He's in San Jose, California.
That is correct. Hello, fellas.
So, as you may know, ESPN Baxter Holmes had a story that came out Thursday about Robert Sarver. I've had a strange role in this because I've been shadowing the Suns for off and on for 2 weeks, waiting for this story to come out. I was with them in Portland for a little while. I was with them in Phoenix for days on end. The story wasn't coming out. I would go to practice every day. I would go to games. Everybody there knew the story was coming, and I hadn't been told what was in it. I was just waiting. And then I got sent home, and then I got sent back out here. And so the story came out today. There's a lot of accusations in the story. It's a very long story. Baxter worked on it for a very long time, over a year, I think. I haven't even talked to him about how long he worked on it. And the reason I was here, McMahon was actually here working on a different story.
Yeah, I was just here coincidentally.
I know. The Rockets were here, McMahon's Rockets. I don't know how much time you're going to see the Rockets.
I saw him in Dallas a couple weeks ago and saw him now, and we'll see him down the road.
I'll be it for a while. Yes.
Yeah, we'll see him down the road.
I got, while I was here covering this story, I got the full Jalen Green experience watching him in this game that they played tonight. But so this is obviously a heavy thing for the NBA. It's not a good time. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, it's, and that was the thing, like being around the Suns, even before we talk about what happened today. Being around the Suns, they were stressed out. They were stressed out. You know, they weren't playing well at the beginning of the season. They've had a very friendly homestand right now, and so they've gotten some wins. But they're still not playing great. And you know, they were just stressed out about it. And frankly, my presence being there, I don't think helped. Because it was a reminder that in addition to the fact they weren't playing that great, and then Ayton got hurt and missed some time
after not getting his contract done, which is kind of something hanging over them.
I was there right after that, and I wasn't allowed to tell anybody where I was, by the way. I mean obviously the Suns knew because I showed up, but like I wasn't allowed to tell anybody what I was doing. Like I was doing podcasts from, like, I did podcasts from Phoenix last week, and I didn't say where I was because I was just waiting for the story. And I've never experienced, this is, you know, 19, 20 years into covering the NBA, I've never experienced anything like this. And so it's not a happy time. And the story is the story. I mean, I encourage you to read it. I don't want to go over it ad nauseum here. But I was going to say that in the arena tonight, McMahon, there was no indication that anything happened.
Well, other than Sarver's courtside seats being empty, that was perhaps the only indication. But no, there was not any kind of fan, reaction, outrage, nothing along those lines. The Monty Williams pregame press conference obviously was dominated by that. So was the postgame press conference, which was Chris Paul.
I don't think there was one question to Chris Paul and Devin Booker that even involved the game that they played.
Nor should there have been. Okay, great. You beat the Rockets. In the grand scheme of things, who cares? And the general reaction from the Suns basketball leaders, the head coach and their two stars, was essentially, hey, we need to focus on basketball. The NBA is doing its investigation. We will wait for those results. are the conclusions and deal with the fallout. But essentially they said, you know, we don't want to focus on this. We don't want to have to, you know, to have this
weigh us down. They absolutely punted.
Yeah.
Right. Bontemps. They, I mean, I'm not expecting them to have omniscient. Like, I know they don't necessarily know what Robert Sarver said. And I'm not expecting them to come out and, you know, rip their owner.
But what they didn't said, do is say Robert Sarver has to go. That's what they didn't do.
Yeah, well, they did. I'm not saying
that they should have said that. I'm not saying anyone should have expected that. But that's what they didn't. I would say
no.
By saying we're going to wait to see what the investigation is, they said we're going to wait. They didn't say something has to happen today.
That's now, they also did not, you know, like put up a fight and, you know, hey, you know, we believe Robert. There was none of that. There was none of that.
Yeah, it was just we're going to wait and see.
No. They didn't condemn the use of that word. They didn't condemn the concept that anybody who uses that word faces no place in the NBA. They didn't show empathy for many of their co-workers within the Suns organization, regardless of whose fault it was. They didn't do anything. They lined up, punted the ball to the law firm in New York City and said, we'll see you in 3 months. And frankly, with the speed of the investigation, I mean, I was talking to an NBA GM today and he's like, how does the NBA have room for all these investigations? They're going to have to push the tampering investigation. Hey, scoot over, guys. We've got to bring in another set of people for the investigation.
Yeah, the picks that are given up in that investigation will have to be like 2042 by the time it's concluded.
So, and look, all I'm going to say is this. Right now, how many head coaches have more capital than Monty Williams? Greg Popovich, Eric Spoelstra. I don't even know if Eric Spoelstra has capital because as much capital as Monty in term on this topic.
Yeah.
Who else has more capital than Monty Williams? So what Monty said to come out of this game before the game was going to set the tone for the entire way this organization was going to handle this. And at least in the interim, because we know the NBA said they're going to have a investigation. But what Monty did before the game was going to set the tone for how the whole Phoenix Suns and frankly, the whole NBA, in my view, was going to handle this.
Yep.
He doesn't know. He's looking at it in many cases that he said, she said situation. And even though there's people on the record in certain cases in the story, I'm not expecting him to come out and condemn someone he doesn't know everything, but I really wondered and was thinking that if there was an opportunity to set a tone and set a standard for what's going to be acceptable, regardless of what Sarver may have or have not done, that was the moment to do it in. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop by. Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. Devin was listening to Monty before the game. I don't know if he was seeing it on Twitter or if he was watching the feed or whatever, but he had an opportunity to set a tone for the way his players were going to say it. And for a guy like Monty in that moment, who could really have, you know, taken this and run with it, I was interested in the fact that he decided to pass on that. I wonder, so here's what I think, Bontemps, I'll see if you agree with me. In the world where Donald Sterling was on tape and Bruce Levinson, who had to sell the Atlanta Hawks because of an email, there was an email, and John Gruden, there were emails, and who am I forgetting recently that got busted with audio or video or something? The standard for this is just higher now. And maybe that's good that the standard is higher, but I also think that there's a fatigue from this to a certain extent too. So I don't know what's going to happen now. I don't know if the NBA will get to this investigation before the end of the season. This may be the last we hear of it, because the Suns, and Chris Paul said this after the game, Chris Paul said, we're going to let the NBA work and we're going to focus on basketball. And I'm sure all the Suns fans were thrilled to hear that, or at least a lot of them. But I don't know, you know, because of what we've seen in the NBA in the last decade, maybe the standard, Bontemps, is just different on this one.
Well, I think when Monty Williams said before the game that, you know, I'm trying to remember the exact phrasing, but I think it was the facts need to be clear, or we need to see what the facts, I don't remember the exact phrasing of it, but I think essentially it was, we need to see what the facts are here after the investigation. And I think, to your point, the difference between the Bruce Levinson situation and the Donald Sterling situation in this situation is that there was hard documented evidence that you could look at in the John Gruden situation of these things are on a piece of paper that you can read, or they're on a video that you can watch. Right. And right now that doesn't exist. And I think it's difficult for these guys who are a basketball coach and basketball players to then, you know, stand up and make a pronouncement about this when there isn't that sort of hard evidence in front of them. And I think that's why they were saying we need to wait and see what this investigation is going to portend. If we get down the road and there is videos or audio or documentary evidence that this stuff happened, then I think things will shift, and probably shift quickly. But, you know, I was at the press conference when Adam Silver banned Donald Sterling in New York 7 years ago. And like, once those videos came out with Donald Sterling in it, that thing was a wrap. Right.
So,
and that I think is the difference here.
McMahon, you asked Devin Booker after the game, a very interesting question. I wonder if you could.
Yeah. So the one thing that, like, there's a lot of sources, there are a lot of people who, understandably, because they're concerned about their career and they are not financially secure, were not willing to put their name on the allegations against Sarver. Earl Watson very clearly was, released a statement through the Raptors, where he's an assistant coach again today, you know, basically, you know, standing up again. And Donald, or I was going to say Donald Sarver, Robert Sarver's reaction to the allegations made by Earl Watson, which, you know, the lead scene of the story is Sarver repeatedly saying the N-word despite Watson telling him you can't do that. You know, one of the statements, he said that Earl Watson was not a credible source. So I asked Devin Booker, who played for Earl Watson.
Well, that's not exactly what he said. He said, we don't know what the facts are. So sort of inherently what he's saying is, I don't see that as a fact. I see that as something that is not.
Who, Sarver? That's a direct quote. He said, not a credible source.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about Booker. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah. And so I asked Devin Booker, I said, you know Earl Watson very well. Do you consider him?
He was his coach for 2+ years.
Right, and was on the staff before that. I said, do you consider him credible? And he said, Earl, yeah, that's my guy. That's he vouched for Earl Watson's right. character.
And just to be clear, to go back to what I was saying, I am in no way questioning what's in Baxter's story. I was simply talking from the standpoint of how those guys are approaching it in terms of what they're saying.
Honestly, my read now, one thing I do disagree with you on, Wendy, is you're assuming the players are following Monty Williams' lead. I think this was a collective decision on how they were going to approach this. You know, as you know very well, they've had weeks to prepare for this. I am quite certain that Monty Williams has had multiple conversations with Chris Paul and Devin Booker. I think this was a collective decision with those guys and you know, likely others, but at least with those guys on what approach they were going to take. And kind of the message, the read between the lines message that I got from tonight was them basically saying, we're not going to let this dude's problems ruin our season. Now, you know, you can discuss or you know, criticize if you want that being their approach, but that's kind of the, you know, the read between the lines message that I got from their reactions. It was basically they were like, look, we're a damn good team, and
that's what Chris Paul said. Chris Paul said we're a good team. He actually said we're a solid team, but yeah. I think he meant very good.
But essentially, Robert Sarver's problems are his problems. They're not ruining our season was kind of what I got from it.
Right, and he meant solidly together too, right?
Yeah.
And I think to McMahon's point,
I agree that they are.
And to McMahon's point, I think they were solidly together on this. And again, I think it for these guys, I think for them to say, we got to see where the investigation goes, I think, especially in light of the stuff with John Gruden and the past instances. Remember, Chris Paul was at the center of the Donald Sterling situation, right? There's anybody who knows what it's like to be in the middle of this kind of thing. It's Chris Paul. And yeah. So I think from their standpoint, I, you know, like McMahon said earlier, there was no this guy's great and we're fully behind him. It was like, we're going to wait and see. And if stuff comes out where you can listen to an audio tape or see a videotape and things are said, I think that this will shift in a different direction in a hurry. But
I would term it hear no evil, see no evil.
Yeah. I think that's fair. But the other thing Booker said, and he's talking about Monty, he's talking about how great he is at like managing situations, keeping people focused, blah, blah, blah. He said, we're sticking behind him. We're going to keep playing hard for him and winning basketball games. And kind of what I read there is basically, hey, you know, we're sticking behind Monty Williams. We're sticking together as a group, and to hell with Robert Sarver.
Yeah. I just thought it was an opportunity for them to condemn the concept just to make sure that that was clear.
Yeah. I don't think they had any desire whatsoever to make a strong statement tonight. They, you know, for better or worse, as Chris Paul said, they just want to hoop.
That is what he said. And you know, the tone was set for me. The story came out at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. here in Phoenix. This afternoon, should have been like, you know, maybe early evening on the East Coast. The Players Association came out with a statement. And that statement, and I mean, I know that Chris Paul isn't on the Players. He's not the Players Association president anymore. But obviously, you know, he didn't retire from it.
He still has all the phone numbers he needs.
Yeah, and you know, Michelle Roberts is still running the Players Association for the time being. And so their statement was, we are continuing to review the allegations in today's ESPN story. We view these allegations as serious and applaud the league's decision to conduct an investigation. We will defer any further comments until that process has been concluded. That was the indication that there was an alignment on how the players were going to handle this, which again, in my opinion, was, you know, just getting punt formation. And, you know, you could bring in
Well, let's call it four.
Let's call it four corners offense. I feel like we need a good basketball analogy.
Okay. Maybe that's fine.
You don't want to talk football because your Browns have a lot of issues right now. So you don't want to get into football.
Well, that's the thing between, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on in sports that don't involve the game, which you guys know that I don't like. So I guess before we go, we should talk a little bit about the game. So tonight, Boston got a huge win in Miami. They had some controversy earlier this week with comments that Marcus Smart made, basically about Jaylen Brown not passing the ball, I think is how I could, was that how you would classify it, Bontemps?
Yeah, I mean, Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart have been going back and forth for quite a long period of time now, and this was the latest round of it. And the Celtics had just given up a 39-11 fourth quarter, and Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum have not been passing the ball all that great. And it's been something the team has been talking about since the start of training camp. And so Marcus Smart, who is known to speak his mind at times, decided to unload a bit after the game, which led to some tension, I would say, is one way to put it. And so, you know, but to the Celtics' credit, they followed that up. They got a win in Orlando yesterday, and then they went to Miami on the second half of back-to-back to play all-star in the making Tyler Hero in the eyes of one of our panelists. And
I don't believe I ever said. I don't believe I
one of
said
our.
You.
I said one of our panelists. I didn't say which one. Okay. And
I might have got a little swept up in the Tyler Hero experience. Well, a little bit. They came through Dallas the other night.
Now listen,
he was a sweet -32 tonight.
Listen, the Heat were playing better than anybody in the league, and then coming into today, they got their doors blown off in the second quarter, 35-9 quarter, and the Celtics get a huge win. And this is the funny thing about the first couple weeks of the season, right? The Celtics on Monday, they blow this lead. They're 2-5, and they had one epic fourth quarter collapse and two losses in double overtime. They win those three games. They're 5-2, and everything is fine. Now, 72 hours later, they've gotten back-to-back wins on the road. They get this win over the Heat, who are playing better than anybody in the league. And now things are looking good again, even though Jason Tatum is shooting 37% from the field.
That's the
he's
NBA.
Having the worst start of his career, right? Like
that's the
this
NBA.
This is the NBA regular season. It's just this is what you do.
I will say that you know, the Heat came in with the best bench in the league through the first 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever it is. And Tyler Hero like had the most points in NBA history off the bench for the first 7 games. Mm-hmm. And the Celtics bench outscored the Heat's bench 45-12.
Yeah. And Kyle Lowry sprained his ankle too. So rough one for the Heat, who looked like an absolute juggernaut when I saw him in Dallas the other night.
Well,
and
really
still
good.
Very well could be.
In preliminary, it seems like Kyle's ankle's not going to be too bad.
Hey, going to the other coast, I do have good news for the Lakers. They are very unlikely to see the Oklahoma City Thunder in the play-in tournament. I think the Lakers will probably have to, you know, I think they'll get another team. They can't beat OKC.
Oklahoma City Thunder 2-0 against the Lakers, 0-6 against the other 28 NBA teams.
Yeah,
and they overcame a 26-point. deficit in one and a 19-point deficit in the other.
And Russ had royal meltdowns in both. Now, you know, LeBron didn't play either, blah, blah, blah.
Let's set that aside. The Lakers lost to the Oklahoma City Thunder at home. Let's relax with LeBron didn't play. Come on.
Yeah, I hope Russ felt that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was within his rights to celebrate when he drilled a shot from the logo in crunch time.
Well, I was watching that game.
I hope that didn't violate any unwritten rules.
I was watching that game in real time, and I gasped when Shai pulled up. I was like, whoa.
I was watching that on my phone during the like 50 minutes that we waited for the Suns players to podium.
That was a wild sequence at the end of the game. But look, I mean, in all seriousness, the concern here, if you're the Lakers, is that the appeal – we were told in training for Russell Westbrook was that it would take some pressure off LeBron during the regular season. You need to have this guy who was a floor raiser who would help you get through these stretches of the season when LeBron would have inevitably have to miss some time. Now he's in his 19th year, right? And you're playing the Oklahoma City Thunder at home, and Westbrook, as you said, McMahon, has an epic turnover, a epic runaway from his guy, and then a terrible three-point shot in the final 30 seconds to lose a game to one of the worst teams.
Yeah, and don't this one, well, you know, they kind of, no. They just got beat by OKC a week ago. Yes, they did. And it was, wait till we see you next week.
That's right.
You're dunking at the end of the game. Wait till we see you next week. We're going to be ready. You were ready, all right.
They were ready to blow the lead.
By the way, they were a Kevin Porter 3 rimming in and out away from losing to the Rockets the other night, too.
Let's just remember, they snuck into overtime and beat the Spurs. They were a Ja Morant missed free throw away from overtime in that game. You mentioned the Rockets game. I mean, this has not exactly been a rip-roaring start to the season against a pretty soft stretch of the schedule. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens in LA.
You guys know what I've self-imposed the rule. I'm not going to judge Lakers until Christmas. In fact, I'm going to even amend that rule. I'm going to saying I'm not going to judge the Lakers until at least Christmas. I'm reserving the right to
give me my evaluation. Give me the damn gavel then. I'll judge them right now.
Well, let me just say that, but one thing I'm concerned about these LeBron injuries because he got run over and he fell and it was a hard fall, but I didn't. And then he left the game the other night against Houston. I don't see how he would have injured his abdominal on that play.
Well, now our colleague, David Gunneman, has reported he's out at least a week.
Well, that was a good report, but that makes me worried.
Yes.
At least a week doesn't mean a week. And
right.
You know,
it means week to week.
I'm not a, not a physiotherapist, but I
can't the groin, spell it.
The groin injury that he suffered a couple of years ago, you know, it just took him a while to get back from that. And, you know, abdominal is not the exact same, but it's, you know, it's a muscle injury. And
this is just a reminder that LeBron James is going to be 37 in several weeks and is in his 19th NBA season and has played a billion games and a billion minutes. And, you know, it's just.
And has carried teams that entire time. I mean, these are hard miles.
Yes.
Well, I was talking to a veteran NBA person today and he made a really good point. He was saying that, you know, people talk about the Lakers being old, but really what it comes down to is LeBron. If LeBron plays young, then he makes everybody around him seem younger. You know, I mean, although Melo looks, you know, like he's 26. but you know, LeBron has that ability. He makes young players look older and old players look younger. I mean, you know,
Russ looks like he's 19 with some of the decisions he's making, some of the turnovers he's making. Yeah, I mean, golly.
Yeah. My gosh. You know, I say about how you lose in the NBA with young guards, but who boy, the Houston Rockets and those young guards tonight, who boy, Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green were just like, let's just give the ball to
them. Their old guard led the team in turnovers, though. Eric Gordon had the most turnovers on the team, but no.
Yeah, I know.
And the Rockets' turnovers tend to essentially be outlet passes for the other team.
Yes. That's also not the topic.
I'm just worried. I mean, I know this is hardly a hot take. I'm just worried about LeBron's health, you know, because none of it matters. It doesn't matter who your wing defenders are. It doesn't matter, you know, what Russell Westbrook's assist to turnover ratio is. I mean, that stuff is not, it's not that that stuff isn't important, but what matters is whether LeBron James is LeBron James. And
because you know, need peak LeBron to overcome the fit flaws.
You don't even need peak LeBron. You just need LeBron to be able to go to peak LeBron. You know, he definitely picks his spots, certainly early in the season. You need that gear to be there.
Well, and look, it's not.
I think gear wasn't there in the playoffs last year.
Yeah, they very much during the playoffs. I mean, they're going to have to win on the road twice just to get into the playoffs, right? And so, yeah, it's going to be tough.
Boy, well, you are really going hard on this.
Well, and now
I've got him in the play-in at least.
Well, and now you've got Anthony Davis, who banged up his thumb tonight and got asked if he's going to play on Saturday in Portland. I wasn't sure. And by the way, that also sets up a sneaky important game in Portland on Saturday. Blazers are hosting Indiana on Friday. Then they play the Lakers on Saturday. They just lost three in a row on the road. They just came through the East Coast. I saw them in Philly on Monday. No Joel Embiid, no Tobias Harris. They lose to the Sixers. Then they lose in Cleveland to the Cavs. Dame looks like the Monstars took his powers and kept them from the Space Jam movie. He cannot make a shot. It's going to be a pretty interesting game.
Dame also could not make a shot in Tokyo.
Yeah.
He shot.
I know. That's what I'm saying. He did the Space Jam movie. They took his powers and never gave him back.
Well, he filmed Space Jam 2 years ago, but I like it's a funny line.
I mean, the movie came out.
So. That's right. That's a fair point.
Hey, I will say this. I'm higher on the Lakers than the other LA team. The Clippers have won two straight, but when they were 1-4, I was just about ready to declare that they were going to be sending the number one overall pick to OKC. OKC was going to get, and it still might happen, number one and number two, the Oklahoma City Thunder's draft.
Well, I got news for you. The Houston Rockets are going to have something to say about that. Because
so will the Detroit Pistons. So will the Orlando Magic.
So will the Thunder. There's going to be a lot of teams.
And listen, let's not count out old Zion's Pelicans. Zion's for now Pelicans.
Oof. I'm just saying, you know, I'm the Rockets have all these young guys, you know, some of them are going to work out.
Vivid Seats wants you to get to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seat Rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code HOOP. That's code HOOP, H-O-O-P. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, with nothing on your roof. So who's ever up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, girl-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package.
Well, look, the Rockets the Rockets have four teenage first round picks on their team this year. Like, they've got talented guys. They're just they're super young and they're going to lose a ton of games.
We've been saying this since
July.
I know, but it's just today I saw them play in person, and it's wild to see those dudes do their thing.
Jalen Green and Kevin Porter Jr. playing together is a recipe to lose 60 plus games. Jalen Green could be a superstar in a couple of years, but you're playing with two super young guards, you're going to lose a ton of basketball games. That's how it goes.
And they started a 19-year-old at center.
Right. Right. They're starting out Aaron Shingun too. They're playing Christopher off the bench. They're playing all these 19-year-olds. It's what they should be doing. You know?
Yes, I know.
But it's how you lose a lot of games.
I just think, they were already managing LeBron's ankle, right? He is missing some time because we are in the first week of November and LeBron's got an abdominal injury and an ankle injury.
Already sat out a couple of games.
He's got a headache after watching Russ play today.
that was a rough way to lose, man. Whew. That was a rough way to lose. I mean, you know, people are going to remember the fact that he had a fast break opportunity to tie the game and the ball shot off of his hand. Like it was, Like it was
like
a
out
skillet.
Of a cannon.
Yeah.
It was like he threw
it. That ball landed so high in the crowd, it didn't even hit anybody famous.
And then on the next defensive possession,
oh my God,
they like, for some reason, like they, I think I, Russ had to be freelancing. I mean, I realized
that he absolutely was. He was on Lou Dort and he decided, the ball's, it was like, the ball's,
it was like
there.
It was like a 7-year-old soccer match. They just all run to the ball.
and whoops, that's the guy I was supposed to be guarding. Wow, he's dunking it to kind of end the game right now. Oops.
And by the way, I continue to be amazed that Austin Reeves is playing the fourth or fifth most minutes on the Los Angeles Lakers when no one in the NBA knew who Austin Reeves was 6 weeks ago.
Hillbilly Kobe. It's a great nickname.
I mean, it is a great nickname, but he is deservedly playing the fourth or fifth most minutes. He has played well, but like that's the situation we're in here. If you're the Lakers.
He's in a two-way spot, right? They didn't promote him yet. He's still
I'm pretty sure. I'm going to double check this. Yeah, they converted him. They converted right at the start of training camp.
That's right. I was going to say, like, and this is not a commentary on Avery Bradley. I recognize Avery Bradley as a quality player, and he's playing well for them. But like,
I mean, do we recognize Avery Bradley as a quality player?
Well,
what are we talking about?
That
he got cut in training camp by the Warriors, and he's starting because they have no one else to play.
I know, but like, he was getting in the first game. They claimed him like 48 hours prior, and he was getting fourth quarter minutes on opening night.
Yes, that's right.
Not good.
That's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about.
When did he get his 20 trillion box score? 20 minutes and no stats.
Was that?
It was first week of the season.
I can check right here. I'll tell you in a second. He played 2 minutes only. It was the next game. He played 21 minutes against Phoenix and missed 3 shots. They got 2 fouls. He did nothing else.
Well, so it wasn't
not quite a trillion. But close.
Your point is understood. So,
I mean, look, the Lakers it's like we talked about coming in the season, right? The Lakers were not they needed LeBron to be great, and they needed some of these depth guys to step up. And Kendrick Nunn has been hurt, hasn't played. He would help him a little bit. Trevor Ariza's out indefinitely. Talen Horton Tucker's out indefinitely.
He seems like he might be getting closer.
Well, that's good. I mean, they need him, but I mean, you know, they're flailing around. I mean, look, Carmelo, God bless Carmelo. He has been awesome. I mean, he almost single-handedly won them that game today. I mean, he's shooting over 50% from three for the season. He has been fantastic for them. I mean, they'd probably lost 3 of these games they've won without him. I mean, they could be in a real mess. So, and he's probably not going to shoot 52% from three all season. So like, yeah, I mean, you know, the Lakers are going to be in the playoffs, but I'm not going to be in McMahon's category.
You think they can win 2 games on the road?
he's not just calling the play-in game. He's calling them 10th place.
I mean, the funny thing is, we kind of alluded to it before, but you look at these standings and, you know, like right now it's obviously 2 weeks into the season, but you know, Milwaukee's 4-4 and has 1,000 injuries. Boston and Atlanta wouldn't even be in the play-in right now in the East. And in the West, you know, the Pelicans are hoping to be in the mix. They're 1-8. You know, you've got Memphis in fourth. You've got Denver, you know, in a play-in spot right now. You've got Portland completely out of the playoffs.
You've got like, the Mavs, who are the softest 5-3 on earth. They're 5-0 against teams that were in the lottery last year. They played 3 playoff teams and lost by an average of 24 points.
But
and let me just point out, let me just point out that the Ben Simmons-less, Joel Embiid banged up,
Tobias Harris out with COVID,
health and safety, 7-2,
best record in the East.
Best Curry in the league.
Well, I'm glad you brought them up, Brian. I was in Philly for that game on Monday, and we were sitting in the media room, right, going out to the court at the start of the game. And Tobias Harris was warming up before the game and got taken off the court. And Joel was already not playing.
Thought we were past that, but I guess not.
Well, Joel was already playing, already not playing. Tobias was out. Obviously, Ben is out. The Blazers were desperate for a win. It was like, oh, man. Blazers are going to, you know, Dame is going to ball rack the Sixers, win this game. Sixers come out. Seth Curry, who's been fantastic, use him as a ball rack and get back on.
Oh, okay. I thought
get back on track again.
I thought you were making a Draymond Green reference.
No, like Kevin Herter used Seth Curry as a ball rack in game seven of the conference semifinals and went to the conference finals. But Seth has been amazing for the Sixers. He won them that game on Monday. He had a huge shot at the end of Wednesday's game to beat the Bulls when the Bulls made another late game comeback. And they've pulled off three wins this week with all these guys out. And, you know, I think the Sixers deserve a ton of credit. They've had all kinds of stuff going on with their team. Joel's been banged up from the first day of the season. The Ben Simmons drama has been there since the start of training camp. And, you know, they're 1 5-minute collapse at the end of the fourth quarter away from being 8-1. And even still, they got the best record in the East and they're finding a way to patch this thing together. So I think Doc Rivers deserves a ton of credit and they're playing well.
Only three plus seasons left to trade Ben Simmons. All right.
5 months.
We've tortured Jackson enough. It was good to see you, McMahon. It's good to see you, buddy. Thank you for listening to the Hoop Collective. Thanks for listening to the Hoop Collective podcast. Thanks to Jackson for apparently turning this around like the sun is about to rise. Thanks to Von Temps. Thanks for you to listen and appreciate it. And we'll talk to you next week.
Hey, Wendy, meet me in the hallway for a man hug.
That's a violation of protocol.
Adios, amigos.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.